and welcome to the Creative Family Podcast. I am your host, Alicia Moulton, and today I am doing a series about home learning survival strategies, how to love your kids, get things done, and cut yourself some slack. This is part 5 of this series, so if you have not heard the other 4, I encourage you to go back and listen to them for some tips and ideas about how to survive this home learning thing that maybe is unexpected for some of you, and maybe it is expected for some too. And that's either one is okay. But we're finding ourselves in this place where we're educating our kids more at home, and that's looking different for all of our families, but we're making it work. And I just wanted to share some tips and tricks that I found as I have been educating my own kids at home for the past several years, and working and trying to do all of the things that we need to do in our families. So one question that keeps coming up as I talk to people who are about their concerns about home learning is, how do I keep my kids motivated to get their work done? And this is actually hard, right? It's something that is a trial and error process, and that maybe will look different for each family. And maybe there is some room for, a lot of differences and a lot of like growth within this process. So it's trial and error, and we try something and then we regroup and we try different things. And anyway, it's just a long process that is part of having our kids home more with us, and about the relationship and about getting things done, right? So on Instagram, we see like beautiful pictures of homeschool rooms and of children being wild and free outside in nature. And it's beautiful and it's nostalgic and looks perfect. And it is some of those things. It is really great. And the connection that we can have with our kids can be a really great thing. But there is also some challenge and like the grittiness, and it requires patience and grace for each other. So what do we do when our kids just don't want to do the work? So I just had some thoughts about this, of things that I've tried and some that were successful, and I'm not going to share the ones that were less successful. So hopefully these will help you, and as you're thinking of how to do this. And if you have ideas that I did not mention, I would love to hear them too. Please share them with me. Tag me on Instagram. I go under the Creative Family Home in that space. And I also have a website, thecreativefamily.com. But I'd love for you to share with me the things that work in your home that maybe I didn't mention. Okay, so the first thing for helping kids get the work done is to set an expectation and like build a routine so that they can expect that to be sort of a consistent thing. So maybe your kids are like mine and they fight new routines. And I really have to enforce them carefully, like the first bit of a new routine, and sometimes offer like more rewards and things like that, or more consequences for not, just to like kind of show that this is a serious routine for our family. And then there is resistance at first, just like with all of us in new things, like it's hard to change, right? But when we are consistent and set that expectation and like follow through about it, then my kids grow to find those routines like sort of comforting and helpful, to like know what to expect in their day, if that makes sense. So an example in our family is that one of the routines that we do in the morning is we do a thing called high five. So what they do is they need to do 5 tasks in the morning, mostly related to their hygiene. Like they need to their teeth, use the restroom, get dressed, fix their hair, and say their prayers. And when they finish those 5 things, they come and find me, the mom, and they give me a high five, and I tell them, great job, thanks for taking care of your body. And then that kind of sets them up to be ready to go for the day, instead of just kind of, when we don't do it, sometimes we laze around in our pajamas all day, and it feels like it's harder to get things done when we're not ready to do the things that we want to do. So that's been a really effective thing in my family, and it was recommended to me by a really like well-established homeschool mentor, and ever since, it's been like a real gift to my life. So maybe that's a fit for your family. Maybe you have a different thing already going, and that's okay too. I'd love to know what it is. I'd love to know other people's routines just to help refine mine and make it better. So once they've done their high five for the day, then we try to do breakfast and reading time, and then kind of move directly into our homeschool and work on that for a few hours, and then it's lunch, and then we may do some extra subjects after lunch, but we try to let them have like free time to play with their friends or do some extracurriculars activities after lunch. So that's kind of in general what it looks like. Some days are very different from that, and it's okay, and we just try to do the best we can and alter that as we need to. Something else that really helps with getting the work done is to offer constant positive reinforcement. And I think that, well, in our family, we have a specific system, but I think that positive reinforcement is really encouraging. And like, I see their eyes really light up when I say things like, "Hey, I noticed that you started that right when I asked, and that is so helpful to me and to our family, and I really appreciate that about you." And noticing like the positive things that they do, like makes them kind of want to do more positive things so that I notice and help them. And for some reason, I guess it's because I'm their mom, right? They want that. They want me to notice the positive things. They want to know that they're like doing a good job and that I love them and I think that they're doing well. And so I like to offer constant reinforcement. And sometimes that's just verbal, like, "Good job. I notice that you're doing so well here." And sometimes we use a gold star system. So, you know, like some people have charts and stickers and all of that. I don't do any of that. I just keep it like the simplest system possible, but it works for our family. And if chore charts and those kind of things work for you, that's so great. And you should do those. But for me, I feel like I'm already busy and holding so many things in my brain that I needed something really simple. So I don't know where this came from, but what I do is when I notice that they're doing something well, or if they respond when I say, "Hey, will you please take out the garbage?" and they say, "Sure, I'd love to," or "Okay," and they do it right when I ask, then I give them a gold star. And all I do is I say, "That's great. Thank you for doing that. Gold star." And then I say, "Bing." And then they know that that is like a gold star that they earned. And they keep track of their gold stars in their heads. And, you know, if they forget, I try to be really generous with that. And then when they get 10 gold stars, then they earn a dollar. And they can spend that dollar however they want. And they need a save part and we tithe for our church. And they do that with their money, and then after that they spend what they'd like to. And so they get to buy like fun toys or spend it on treats or what they'd like to spend it on. So we give gold stars when we have like really, like if I notice that they're sharing with their sibling, or if they did a really good job on their work, or they started right when I asked, or if I notice that they've done something really positive, or they get their high five done, sometimes I'll give them a gold star. We use those gold stars to help establish like new routines in our family. For example, we want to have the kids upstairs in the evenings by 9:30. And that's kind of a new thing. We've been really slackers about bedtime around here because we homeschool and we run our own business and we don't have stuff to get up for, right? So if we get them upstairs by 9:30, if they come upstairs by 9:30, that's a new routine that we're trying to establish. So I'll give them 10 gold stars if they make it at the beginning of that routine. And then I'll probably ask them to come upstairs ready for bed by 9:30. That will probably be the next step to earn gold stars. And then those gold stars, as the routine is established, will kind of reduce the number of them that they get for doing the task. But we use it to like initiate new routines, and it really helps in our family to have like positive things. And I guess the most like maybe revelatory thing about this is to praise and reward them for doing things the first time I ask. That's made a really big difference in our family. Instead of being like, "Oh no, I don't want to," then they know that they're going to be rewarded for saying, okay, mom. And that's something that's really helpful to me. So I love when they have that positive attitude and want to like reward that. So it's not an allowance like when we pay them, it's like they're earning the money. And so they get paid in gold stars or money for chores and for different things that they do around the home too. And that system has been really successful for us. And, you know, these systems, like, we may use this for a while and then we'll change it to something else that seems more effective as they get older or as our circumstances change. And that's okay too. Like, different times and seasons in our lives call for different systems, and it's okay to like explore different ones and see which one works for you. Maybe gold stars is not the thing. Maybe this also works really well because my kids usually are pretty careful about keeping track of their gold stars, and I haven't had them be dishonest about it yet. You know, if they forget, they say, "Mom, I forgot. I don't remember how many gold stars I have." Then I'm like, well, I like estimate higher and I try to be really generous with them. So they don't feel like this need to be dishonest. But if that was an issue in your home, which sometimes it is, then maybe like you'd have to track it differently. And that's okay. Like, we're still teaching these really important lessons to our kids. Okay, so that's constant reinforcement and expectation and routine. Those are two things that we can do to help like set the kids up for success with getting their work done, right? Another thing we use to motivate getting work done is we find the thing that they want the most and then let them do it when they're finished with their work. So we can say, my kids really like to go swimming. They really like to have screen time. They like to play with their friends. They like to jump on the trampoline with me. And so if I know that those things feel really rewarding for my kids, then I'll say, okay, once you get your work done, then you can call your friend to play. Or if they ask, "Mom, can I play with this friend?" Then I would say, "Sure, I would love for you to do that right after your work is done." And then they know that they need to get their work done to be able to do that. And it took a few times of not getting our work done and then missing that opportunity to have that be a successful strategy, but now it works really well. We had to like kind of be strict about that at first, and then later on it becomes easier, right? Okay, another thing is that if my kids are really struggling with wanting to do the tasks that are assigned to them for their school for the day, whether that's like a home task that I decided to give them, or if that's something that their teacher assigned as like work that they needed to do at home. If they don't want to do it, like, I need to evaluate why they don't want to do it, if that's a consistent thing. If we have the routine established and we've set them up for success and all of that, and they still don't want to, why are they resisting that? Or is it just that they're resisting something new? Is it like hard? Is it boring? Do they have the skills that they need to be able to do that task? You can hear my rooster in the background, maybe. is it too hard of a task? Is it too easy? If it's on a computer, are their characters like annoying, or does it stress them out to have like immediate response? Do they need more attention from you, and so they're resisting it because they're like, oh, if I say no, then my mom will like pay attention to me, even if it's bad attention, right? And if I keep asking my kids to do this thing, where will that lead? Like, will it lead them to have like this temporary struggle that they work through, and that leads to a breakthrough in a minute, and that they'll feel really confident about? Or is it something that I need to back up and like teach preliminary skills for? If I push, will they blow up and melt down, or will it lead to a successful experience? So I have some examples about this. When my daughter was little, I wanted her to be able to write. She had a lot of amazing things to say, and I thought she should like immediately be good at writing. And I pushed her way beyond her ability level, and she became really frustrated, and like there was lots of fighting and lots of tears. And then I realized, like, I was just thinking about it and like praying about it, and figured out that what was happening was that I was pushing her too hard too fast. So instead of keeping going with that, we backed off a lot, and I gave her instead some copy work that was really simple, but so she was still writing, but she didn't have to like think of everything on her own and just come up with stuff like on command, you know, and that because that was really frustrating for her. So we backed off and we kept it really, really simple. And now we're going ahead and moving forward with trying writing again and trying some new strategies with that. But in math, we use a program that has sort of some struggle built in, some discovery process built in. So with math, I know that I can kind of push her a little bit and she'll get frustrated and like not want to do it. But then she has like, she discovers like the math concept that we're working on and she lights up and she feels really good. So I know that that's a place where I can kind of push her and stretch her a little bit and that she's going to have that breakthrough if I can set her up for that successfully, right? So I want to know where this is going. And so if this is happening for you, like maybe if your kids are home from COVID and they're trying to do their schoolwork that the teacher assigned, and you can see that that method is really not working and really frustrating, then consider talking to the teacher or emailing if it's COVID, right? And saying that this isn't working and that they're extremely frustrated with this program. Is there an alternative? And your teachers are usually really great about finding something that could be a better fit. If that doesn't work or if that's not what you want to do, then you may also be able to choose something yourself, like pick a program that seems like the same lines but that your kid likes. For example, it could be more of a game-based math program than like a strict math program, and like switching up the program something sometimes helps. Or maybe you switch and you don't do it online anymore and you do it in person. Or if you are doing it in person, maybe you switch and you have, you know, an online teacher. So switching up the program is a possibility and is okay to do, and teachers usually are pretty honoring of that. Especially they want your kids to be successful too, right? Or if you're homeschooling and choosing your own curriculum, maybe choose something else, right? And it's okay to like switch it up and find the best fit for your kid and for your family. And sometimes we just need to back off and let them kind of grow a little bit, grow up a little bit, their mind grow a little bit before we introduce that concept. And that's okay too. Let's see. So another thing that we can do to kind of keep kids motivated to get work done is to, I use this strategy a lot, like when they're really refusing and balking at, balking is like, you know, when a horse is gonna go over a jump and then they like refuse to go and then the rider sometimes falls off, right? So if my kids are balking like that, they won't go over that jump, then sometimes I say something like, you know, I have all day to sit here and make sure that you get this done. So you could finish it in 15 minutes really quick right now, or you can like sulk and have tantrums and like, you know, refuse to do this for several hours, and then you could spend 15 minutes doing this thing. Which thing would you prefer? Which timeline would you prefer? Because I just have all the time to just sit here and like make sure that this happens. This is really important to me. And there is some like, I don't know, sarcasm or something in there, but that seems to work too, like letting them know that you're really serious about getting this thing done, and that their attitude now just is only going to make things harder. But if they like do it, then it's over and it's done. So anyway, I'll probably just start a savings account for my kids' therapy when they grow up, right? Just kidding. But we want to, I don't know, let them know that we mean business and that this is something that they do need to accomplish. And I usually try to like make sure they get it done. And then like once they've, I don't know, sort of tried and like I feel like they're being kind of obedient to that, then that's, it's after that that I'll reevaluate and say, is this the right program for my kid? But I want to follow through with having them finish what I've asked them to do in that day, if that makes sense. So another question that sort of goes along with this is what happens when we fight, right? So maybe this will be validating to you that homeschool moms sometimes fight with their kids and that some homeschool kids sometimes fight with their moms, right? And that's normal and it's okay. And we're going to work through it and try to build like positive relationships. And sometimes we get really frustrated with each other and that's normal. And we have meltdowns and explosions and whining and PMS. And my kids are having big people problems and big people emotions, big emotions and like hard things to deal with in their little bodies, you know, like, and that can feel really overwhelming to them. And it will take time for them to learn how to manage these things. And it takes time for me to learn how to manage these things, right? And we need to like let them grow into that, I guess, and give them grace when we feel frustrated with each other. So when I become frustrated, I try to use like fair fighting rules. And there are rules that like lines that I just won't cross as a parent. Like I don't believe in like hitting or spanking or causing physical harm to children. So that's my preference. You'll figure out your lines, what things that you will not cross, even if you're fighting, right? So that's one for me, is that physically I won't harm my children. And then we don't demean people or call them stupid or like gaslight them or, you know, like things that are psychologically really unhealthy for parents to do with their kids. We don't use the word stupid and we don't use the words I hate you in our family. We can say things like, I am so mad right now and I did not like that you did that. That was awful. Or, you know, I need some space, or go to your room and take time to calm down, or do not throw that on the floor. Like I can tell them things that are clearly expected. And then I really like this new one that I learned from my sister, which is, I will talk to you about this when you calm down. And sometimes I do that as a broken record. I will talk to you about this when you calm down. And then once they calm down, I try to talk to them about it, right? And I'm definitely not like a perfect parent, and this is trial and error, and I'm learning as I go, but these are some things that are helping me, right? I take calm down time for myself. Like sometimes I need to go in my room and like find the hidden chocolate and eat it. And I cry and I pray and I like listen to my intuition about the next best thing for my kids. And I watch trashy TV and I just take time to like, you know, clean out that that angst and like the anger, and then try to talk about it when we've both calmed down again. And I need to have limits too, where I can take time to sort of recharge, because if I do that, then I'm less likely to be really unkind to my kids, right? I'm more likely to be kind, that's what I'm saying, is if I can calm down. And then when we calm down, we try to talk about it and listen to each other and like validate each other's feelings. And I mean, I'm dealing with girls, right? So all of those things. And we try to say we're sorry and to express love and compliments to each other when a fight is over. And this is all like trial and error, and I'm going into the preteen phase and like all of the emotions that come with that. And so I know I'm going to need to learn new parenting strategies as we go into that, and expect that there'll be a learning curve there too as we enter new phases of their lives and of their experience. And for each kid is different, and different strategies work. One of my kids, a timeout, like where they spend time by themselves, is most successful. And the other child, is time like connecting with me is the thing that calms her down. So we evaluate and we think about each child as an individual and how to help them and love them, right? Like, but this is like, this conflict can be a real part of homeschool, and there are some really real things that we can do to help set ourselves up for less fighting and more success, but those things are still going to happen. So some things that we talked about today are that we can set an expectation and a routine to kind of help set them up for success and build those things in. We can offer constant positive reinforcement. We can find the thing that they want most and let them do the thing when they've finished with their tasks. we can evaluate why they want to do it, and sometimes we need to back off and choose something different, a different method to teach that thing. Sometimes we let them know that they're going to be staying in that spot and doing that thing until it's done, and then they may go on to something else. And then sometimes we fight, but we try to do it with fair fighting rules, and we try to set limits for ourselves so that we can take time to calm down too, and remember that this is all trial and error, and that we have like some strong intuition that will help us be able to know the best things to try for our own kids. And we know them and we love them and we want to set them up for success, and we'll figure out the right strategies to help parent them, especially as we're spending a lot more time with them. So I hope these things may help you with teaching your kids at home, whatever that looks like for your family. And I hope that this podcast will help you to love your kids and get things done, and to cut yourself some slack, and to know that you're not in this alone, that I got your back, and that there are lots of us out there who are in the same situation or something similar, and that you can do this, and that you have the best things in your heart for your kids. So, thanks for listening. Bye.